Our scripture reading for this afternoon is found in two letters of the Apostle Paul. First, from his first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. And then we'll turn to his letter to the Ephesians chapter 6 and read verses 10 through 20. 1 Thessalonians 5 and Ephesians 6. Let us hear the word of the Lord. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So far in this chapter, and then turning to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Here the apostle writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So far the reading of the Word of God, and we find our text in this section of Scripture, verse 17, Ephesians 6, verse 17, the first part of the verse where Paul says, "And take the helmet of salvation." Now in worship to God, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and may what is read here from the pulpit find an echo in the hearts and lives of everyone, even as is our confession. "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic, that is, worldwide Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, everyone here is, I'm sure, familiar with what a helmet is. Also the children and the young people, if you ever go biking or rollerblading or play hockey, then no doubt, at least on certain occasions, you put on a helmet. When you do that, a helmet, you are protecting your head. For a helmet is, as you know, a special kind of shield for your head. And helmets are, in fact, and of course, very important. Also, if you would be a soldier, this is true in our day, it was true in Paul's day. If you were a soldier, if you were a Roman soldier, Paul is thinking about them in our text, then you wore a helmet. And since that is true, it's not surprising then when Paul is beginning to reflect on what it means to be a Christian soldier, that he does not forget to mention also the helmet of a Christian soldier. Verse 17, our text, he says, "And take the helmet of salvation." What does Paul mean? Well, essentially he means that we are to live in the light of the gospel of salvation. And we are to let that gospel in all its fullness and richness and worth be what guides our thoughts, our every thought in our life. That's what it means, really, to wear the helmet of salvation, to be saturated in our minds, and to have it as a kind of a grid through which everything passes. All that we experience, all that we think about, the gospel, to have it as a kind of grid through which everything passes. To wear the helmet of salvation, you could say, is to confide always in Jesus and in His grace. And it is to commit to Jesus always and to His grace. Some time ago, I preached through the various pieces of the armor of the Christian. And one thing we noticed, and it's true also in this context, these pieces of armor are pieces that you don't just put on once, but a Christian continually puts on these pieces of armor for fighting in the world and with the devil. Every day, really, every moment is about putting on and keeping on, then also in this regard, the helmet of salvation and fighting with that helmet on. Well, the question this afternoon is why? What is so important about the helmet of salvation? This afternoon, this sermon is all about that helmet. And we want to notice the following 3 points about this helmet and why we always need to take it and to wear it. And in the first place, we can say that the helmet of salvation saves our head. It saves our head. Now, in physical warfare, this is, of course, many times true. You cannot imagine a soldier. If he is called to fight, and the guns are roaring, and there's the clash of enemy engagement in his ears, no soldier would want to enter the war or the battlefield without his helmet on. And that is because our heads are so vulnerable. Without a helmet, one stray bullet, or in Paul's day, an arrow striking our heads, or a glancing blow of a spear or a sword or a battle axe on our helmetless head, then we're down, and most likely we're dead. But if we have our helmets on, then we stand a much better chance of survival. Then we have a kind of protection against whatever the enemy can throw at us. In Paul's day, the helmets of Roman soldiers were leather caps covered with hard metal plates. And these helmets would fit very snugly all around the soldiers' heads, covering their skull, their neck, and sometimes even their cheeks. They were tough helmets. They were many times effective protection. You would have to hit a helmeted soldier very hard to do real significant damage to his head. So every soldier valued his helmet very much. It is what could save his head. But this is important too for Christian soldiers. Not just in physical warfare, but also in spiritual warfare, it is very important to protect our heads. And now by head, we mean especially our minds. Because our head houses our brain, our mind. And the devil comes to our mind, and he works and he aims to ruin us through our mind. And maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you know about the devil attacking your head. How does he do that? Well, doesn't he go at it like this? Isn't this what he is after with every Christian in one or another way? Working to discourage you. Working to depress you. Working to distract you. Maybe he tells you, whispers to you, it's no use. Why do you bother to serve God anymore? Look how you come short. Look what sins are still in your life. There's no hope for you. Why do you try? That's the devil. Discouraging you. Depressing you. He tells you you're wasting your time. He says, look how long you have been a Christian. But where has it gotten you? What really has it done for you? How much has it changed you? Maybe the devil, he's very clever and he points to some struggles in your life. Some sins, he lays his finger on them. Sins that you can never seem really to conquer. And he says, look at this. What are these in your life? How can they be there? You say you are a Christian. Well, not much of a Christian after all. And then maybe when he picks up, or when you pick up the Bible, he comes, he sidles alongside and he says, you're going to read that? You don't understand it. Remember the last time you read it, that Bible, you got confused. You know, it's not a book for you. It's not something that can help you really put it down. Let me give you something else to read. Don't waste your time reading the Scriptures. He can discourage you. And he can depress you. Do you know about the devil's talk? Are you alert to his warring with your mind? When he says to you, it's no use. Why are you wasting your time? When he sees you come into church and he says to you, what are you doing here? Why are you coming to church? What's the church got that the world can't give you? Does the church have anything to boast about? Isn't the church, in so many instances, failing and not thriving? Where is the influence of the church in the world? Do people respect the message and the glory of the church? No, they don't. The church is marginalized, says the devil. The church is ignored, outdated, outmoded, irrelevant, full of division herself, not able to practice very well what she preaches. And besides, listen to what the church is preaching nowadays, says the devil. It's all confusion. Why are you still in the church? Why do you belong to that? Give it up. You see how the devil, they come to you to depress you. Maybe he comes to you and his tactic with you is really to distract you. And he has you in your life so focused on all kinds of other things. Maybe on your business. Maybe on your adventures. Maybe on just securing a significant retirement income. That's your focus and that has all of your energy. Or something else. And church gets second or third or fifth or tenth place. That's the devil. Distracting you. Coming into your mind, assaulting your head. And he comes sometimes with hit after hit, blow after blow. And if you aren't wearing your helmet, what happens? Well, you'll be like helmetless soldiers who are caught in enemy crossfire, subject to enemy assault. And it's already dangerous. But with no helmet, what hope do such soldiers have? And so likewise, we too need the helmet of salvation because it will save our head. It will save our head. Well, how can it do that? What is so great about this helmet that it saves our head? The answer is that Paul calls it the helmet of salvation. That means that it is the helmet that proclaims the grace and goodness and glory of the Lord as revealed in and through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. The helmet of salvation is that helmet that affirms and declares that God is a saving God in and through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. And that all who call to Him, all who trust in Him, all such He will and does rescue from the pit of hell, from the judgment of sin, and yes, also from the kingdom of Satan. The helmet of salvation tells the news that left to ourselves we are lost. But in and through and with the triune God, we may be saved now and forever. That's the helmet of salvation. And to take that helmet means to embrace these truths. To embrace this Lord God. To take this helmet means to cling to Him and to His Word. It means to learn and to trust His every promise. It means to rest in His great and gracious Word. To take the helmet of salvation means to live in the truth of the gospel of salvation. To live in this truth so much that it shapes you. So much that it's the foundation of your thinking and living. It's in your mind. And this, says Paul, is what will save your head. It's the helmet of salvation. And it will save your head because it will be a defense against the discouragement the devil tries to produce in you. And it's the helmet of salvation because when the devil says to you, it's no use. When he says, you're too bad. When he says, nothing's real. Why are you wasting your time? Then you've got your helmet on, the helmet of salvation, and you don't fall down. He's speaking, but you don't give up. He's at you, but you don't become depressed. Because you know, because you are sure that the Lord is true. And that His grace is sure. And that His Word is trustworthy. And that His promises will be fulfilled. The devil may hit you. But he cannot really hurt you because you've got your helmet on. You're not listening to the devil. You're listening to the Word. The Word of promise. The gospel of your deliverance from sin and Satan. From death and hell. That's what's got its hold on your mind. And that becomes your hope and your strength. God's salvation in Jesus Christ. The helmet of salvation saves our head. Are you in your life? And me and mine. Are we taking this helmet? Are we wearing it? When you get up in the morning, day after day, do you make sure you've got this helmet on still? In other words, are you aiming to live all of your life by the truth of the gospel? Are the truths of the gospel the things that excite you? The things that encourage you? Do you learn them? Do you love them? Do you live out of them from day to day? That's the way. That's the way to save your head. Every believer needs the helmet of salvation. It's the only way. It's the only way to save your head. But the helmet of salvation does more than save our head. And here we come to our second point. The helmet signals our hope. The helmet signals our hope. And now I want to remind you of the passage that we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because you remember, or you may remember, how we came across, how we read their very similar words to our text. Paul is writing in that chapter, in 1 Thessalonians 5, about the need for watchfulness and sobriety in the life of the Christian. We're to be ready. We're to be waiting for the day, for the arrival of the day of the Lord, a day that's surely coming and on its way. And in that context, Paul writes verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Listen carefully. Let us who are of the day be sober, he says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. As a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now that's very similar to our text in Ephesians 6. Except there's an additional word. An additional noun. The hope. In Ephesians 6, it's take the helmet of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians, take the helmet of the hope of salvation. So the wording is a little different, but the meaning is more or less the same, except that Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 is accenting He's accenting the future blessings of salvation. If in Ephesians 6, Paul simply writes salvation, then no doubt he has in view salvation in all of its depth and width and breadth and height. The fullness of salvation, past, present, future, it's all there. Paul has that in mind. And we put emphasis in a way on past and present, especially present salvation, because the conflict rages here and now. The devil's at us here and now. Why are you wasting your time in the present life, says the devil. And so the solution always is to know and to say that we are saved by God in Jesus Christ and to live out of that. But there's another aspect to salvation, and that is the future that is our hope. The future that promises full deliverance and perfection and righteousness and glorification. That is every Christian's sure hope. And Paul is saying, in both passages, but perhaps more clearly in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is saying, let also and especially that hope be the helmet that you wear in your life. Let the helmet, let the hope of salvation be what you use to protect your head. And that's why we say then that the helmet of salvation signals our hope. That means that this helmet communicates, it testifies that when we are believers, we are people who are living in hope. We are people who are living with hope. And not simply the hope that helped to catapult Senator Obama to the presidency. It's a few months ago now. But I'm sure that you remember how he campaigned around the theme of hope. He wrote a book, The Audacity of Hope. Hope for a stronger nation, for a brighter future. Many such things. Well, not that kind of hope Paul has in mind. He has in mind a vastly different hope. A vastly more glorious hope and enduring hope. The hope that Paul has in mind is the hope of eternal life. It's the hope of a perfect body and a perfect soul in a perfect heaven and on a perfect earth in perfect fellowship with the perfect God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to wear this helmet of salvation and the hope of salvation is to communicate to the world that we are people of hope. To live by faith in Jesus Christ. To trust the Lord God as our Father. To aim always to walk in the Spirit. In other words, to take this helmet of salvation is to testify before others everywhere that we know where we are going and we look forward to what is coming. Our inheritance is not here. It's on its way and it is incorruptible and it is undefiled and it is reserved for us until the appointed time when it will be ours in fullness, in glory, and in total perfection. To communicate that. Maybe an illustration will help. And in a way it's a poor illustration. But perhaps it will give at least some of you an idea. Think of someone who wears a cap with a logo on the front. Maybe of a favorite ball team or hockey team. And you see that person with that cap and that logo. Then you know where their hopes are. In one sense, at least on the sports level. You know that their hope is for that team to win the World Series. Or the Stanley Cup. That will be the highlight of that person's year. But so it is with Christian believers. Christian soldiers who have the helmet of the hope of salvation. When you are going through your life, trusting, loving, praising and reflecting Jesus. When that is your life, then you send a message. Then you signal to others. You tell to others that your one great all-encompassing hope is not that a ball team wins the World Series or anything like that. No, it's rather that no matter what happens, no matter what hardships and sufferings you endure, no matter how many satanic attacks you encounter or discouragements you meet or oppression you experience or persecutions or whatever, you are on your way to a glorious life. In a glorious land with a glorious Lord. And that is your hope. And it's a sure hope. And it's written all over your head. The helmet of salvation. When we're wearing it, when we've got it on, then it signals our hope. And we need to ask the question this afternoon, what about me? Do I signal to others this great hope of salvation? Is it evident to others that what excites me and what enthuses me and what gets me up in the morning and what helps me get through every day and what strengthens me to face every trial is my hope in life, in this salvation? Do people say about us, you know, there is a people living for eternity. There is a man or a woman or a boy or a girl even who has his or her sights on what's coming, on the glory that's on its way. And to be sure, we have to live here. And we ought not to want to leave this life prematurely. In fact, as long as we're here, the Lord wants us here. But what are we hoping for? Economic stability? Worldly wealth? Early and easy retirement? Power and influence? Access to many pleasures? If we're wearing the helmet of salvation, then we're signaling that our hopes are beyond all that. Something greater and grander and far glorious still. And you know, when that's our hope, then that shows up in our life. Because then we're not concerned to have it all here and now. No, in fact, something else becomes dominant in our life. The more that we're wearing, consciously wearing this helmet of the hope of salvation, then we find ourselves loving to give here. Loving to give our money, but not just our money, our time, our strength, our prayers, our life. Everything that we can give to the glory of God and to the worship of God. Are you wearing the helmet of salvation? Not just on Sundays, but every work day, every school day, when you manage your finances, when you budget your time, when you plan your life. What about when you go through struggles? Or when you experience high points? Are you wearing the helmet of salvation? Not just so as to save your head, but signaling your hope. Your hope before a watching world. Well, there's one more point about this helmet. It strengthens your hands. It strengthens your hands. Now maybe you think, what does a helmet have to do with my hands? But here we need to remember the context. Paul is describing the Christian's armor. And the context is that a Christian is involved in a great battle. And it's not just a gun battle. It's not just as if the devil is way over there and he's shooting his cannons and once in a while we have to watch out. Now that's part of it. But Paul says in verse 12 that we wrestle. We wrestle with the devil. We wrestle with the wicked one. We wrestle with powers, principalities, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. We wrestle. And what he's conveying there is that this is hand-to-hand combat. That it's up close and personal, as it were, with the devil. He's not just over there and let the guns go, but he's here and we're here and he's wrestling and we're wrestling. It's hand-to-hand combat. And we've got our shield and we've got our sword. And it's touch and go. It's from moment to moment sometimes. And one thing that is very important, you can't be so nervous or so fearful that your hands are weak and shaky. That's no good for a surgeon. That's no good for a soldier. And yet, it's very possible in the Christian faith and life. It can happen in the great battle that you become weak, that you begin to shake. One example. The Hebrew Christians the people to whom the book of Hebrews was addressed, they struggled at this very point. They experienced the assaults of the evil one. He discouraged them. He made them want to give up. He came and he tempted them. "Why not go back to the old life?" he said to them. In their case, it was the life of Judaism. More comfortable, safer. It's what they knew, what they were raised with. It didn't garner persecution so much. Why not go back to that easy way of life? Why take the way of the cross? That was the devil's argument. It's too much. Christ and his cross. It's too hard. You can't do it. You'll never finish. Give it up now. And they faced, indeed, these Hebrew Christians, they faced the possibility of persecution. There were people who were unhappy with them. There were people who wanted to eradicate them, destroy them, and the people, the name of Christ. And so is it worth it? Do we continue under this kind of pressure? In a word, the hands of the Hebrew Christians hung down and their knees were feeble. We know that because in Hebrews 12, verse 12, the apostle says, "Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." This was their problem. And so how did the apostle address their problem? Well, what he did in essence was to describe for them the helmet of salvation. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about in a way. He's setting forth this helmet of salvation and he's saying to them, you need to wear this. You need to put this on. You need to take this helmet. It is what will save your head. It signals your hope and it will steady and strengthen your hands in the battle. Just go through the book of Hebrews and you see the message. It's so clear. Christ is true. Christ is real. Christ is enough. Christ is wonderful. Christ is everything. Look to Christ. Trust in Christ. Rely on Him. He will be your defense and your help. He is your high priest. He is your Savior and your King. And He will get you through. Paul, or the Apostle, can write in Hebrews 12, "Run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus." There it is. Take the helmet of salvation. That is what will help you and strengthen you. And it makes sense, doesn't it? I'm sure that the young people know about this. If you're riding your mountain bike, or you're playing hockey, and you've got no helmet on, then maybe you're not quite as confident as you would be if you had your helmet on. You don't have a helmet, perhaps, and so you have to be just a little more careful on your bike. You can't take quite the same jumps, maybe. When your helmet is on, you just feel different. You have more confidence, more courage. Same with if you're a soldier. With that helmet on you, it's like a surge of energy goes through you. You're protected. It steadies you. It strengthens you. And that's how it is for a Christian soldier. Trusting in Jesus. Loving Him. Living in fellowship with Him. And to praise Him. And so also living in hope of the full salvation He will one day bring and you will inherit. Oh, how you can go forward in the fight. How you can turn and face the devil and his attacks. The helmet strengthens our hands. I appeal to you in terms of your experience. All you who confess to know Christ and to be in this fight, don't you know it to be true? Don't you find that when you are strong in the Lord Jesus, then you are strong in the devil's face? And when you aren't strong in the Lord Jesus, then you aren't strong in the devil's face. That is why Paul says, take the helmet of salvation. Go to Jesus every day, all the time. Go to Him, trust in Him, live through Him. That's the way, that's the only way. Yes, that's how to stand in the evil day like today. Ours too is an evil day. So take the helmet of salvation. It'll save your head. It is what signals your hope. And it'll strengthen your hands. That's from the Lord. His word. To His people. To His soldiers. In the fight. Amen.